Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When God was all that existed, He spoke and the universe was created out of nothing. The only instrument He used was His own powerful word. He acted directly, immediately, upon the creation, and the creation came into being at His bidding. But in most things, God doesn't act that way. He doesn't act immediately. He uses instruments of His own creation. For the first 3 days of the creation's existence, His Word provided light for the earth. But from day 4 onward, He used the instruments of the sun, the moon, and the stars, and then fire and electricity to produce light for the earth, using the instruments of His creation to provide for His creation. Or, instead of holding up the earth simply by speaking a word as it hangs there in space and spins, He uses instruments that He created, like gravity and the laws of physics. Instead of dropping food down to us from the sky, He provides for us through instruments of sunlight and soil and water and farmers and those who prepare food for us in order to feed us. He doesn't do it immediately. He does it with instruments. Even in matters of our eternal salvation, God uses means and instruments. He doesn't zap us into faith by His almighty power. Instead, He uses what we know as the means of grace, the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments, as His instruments for creating and preserving faith, to the point that ministers of the gospel, those who minister the means of grace, are themselves called God's angels in the book of Revelation. God's special messengers, workers, tools, or instruments for gathering and for guiding His church. So too, in His running of the universe, God has chosen to use angels as His instruments, those powerful spirit creatures that inhabit the invisible spirit realm, created sometime during the 6 days of creation. Now, there's a lot we don't know about the angels and what they actually do, but there are some things we do know from the Scriptures, and we'll focus on a few of them this evening. We won't get to all of them by far, but we'll pick out a few things. Angels don't have flesh and blood as we do. They are spirit creatures. But they can appear as men when they choose to, like the two angels who accompanied the Lord on His visit to Abraham that we talked about in Bible study recently. We often picture angels with wings, and rightly so, because in Scripture, they are described that way not all the time, but in several places, including how God Himself commanded Moses to fashion the cherubim on each end of the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, with two wings. Or how Solomon put wings on the cherubim, the statues that stood in the temple in Jerusalem. Angels are often called cherubim in Scripture, sometimes called seraphim. And they may have two wings, or they may have four wings, as in Ezekiel's vision, or they may have six wings, as in Isaiah's vision. But what do the angels do? That's what we're getting at tonight. What service do they provide? How do they serve as God's instruments? Well, first and foremost, the angels worship God. He is their creator, their father, their Lord. The seraphim are pictured doing that in Isaiah's vision in chapter 6 as they flew around God's throne calling out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of His glory." Or in Revelation, the angels join their voices with the voices of all creatures, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." The writer to the Hebrews tells us that when God brought His firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all the angels of God worship Him." And they did, as you recall, from the angels who appeared to the shepherds in the skies of Bethlehem. And on the night Jesus was born, that multitude of the heavenly host praised God and said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Not only do the angels themselves worship God, but they actually teach us to worship God together with them. There was a reason why God told Moses to place two cherubim on that mercy seat, the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, with their wings spread over the Ark, over the mercy seat, with their faces looking down reverently at it. Just as there was a reason Solomon had those two statues of the cherubim placed there in the temple, or even carved figures of angels into the walls of the temple, God was teaching Israel to worship Him as the angels do. God was teaching them to imitate the worship of the angels, and that when we worship God, the angels are present there too, as they are present here this evening. Which is why whenever we sing the Sanctus before communion, we pray, "Therefore with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Thy glorious name." Now, if the angels worship God there at the mercy seat where He appeared, how much more shouldn't we worship Him? They worshiped at the mercy seat that received the blood of the Day of Atonement's sacrifices, not for their sins, but for our sins. They worship Him, the angels do, as Father and Creator. We worship Him not only as Father and Creator, but as our Redeemer and Savior. The sinless angels have never needed God's mercy. We, poor sinners, do. God didn't send His Son into angels' flesh, but into ours. God didn't give His Son into death for the angels, but for us men. God hasn't had to forgive the angels a single sin, but He forgives ours constantly. God has not brought the angels into the body of Christ, but He has made us members of Christ's body. So let our worship not just imitate, but surpass that of the angels. We have far greater reasons to worship than they do. But the main service or purpose of the angels, the primary work they were created to do, at least as far as we're told in Scripture, is to serve the people of God. As it says in the book of Hebrews about the angels, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" Now, there have been two main ways that angels have performed their ministry to the people of God, to the church. First, they were often God's messengers to men, at least to certain men, bringing the word of God or a message from God to people here and there, to Jacob, to Moses, to Joshua, to the judge Gideon, to the prophets Isaiah and Daniel and Ezekiel and Zechariah. You all remember the angel Gabriel and the special messages he brought to Zacharias and to Mary and to Joseph. You remember the angels who announced to the shepherds that the Christ had been born. The angels warned the wise men to avoid King Herod. They announced the resurrection of Christ to the believing women, and they announced to the disciples that the ascended Christ would return from heaven in the same way they saw him go up into heaven. It was an angel who told Peter to go to Cornelius' house. It was an angel who told the Apostle Paul that he would survive shipwreck and make it safely to Rome together with the crew. And it was an angel who revealed the revelation to St. John. Messages delivered by angels were important, but they were relatively rare. The ongoing, continual work of angels is something that we never get to see and never get to hear. And that work is to guard and protect the people of God from dangers, both seen and unseen, from attacks, both physical and spiritual. The angels are God's instruments to keep us safe from harm. Now we finally come to the angel after whom today's celebration is named, to the angel called Michael. His name means, "Who is like God?" He's mentioned a few times in the Bible, 3 times in the book of Daniel, once in Jude, and once in Revelation, the epistle that you heard this evening. In Daniel, he's called one of the chief princes. He's also called your prince, that is, the prince of Daniel and of the people of Israel. And he's also called the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. In Jude, Michael is called an archangel or a chief angel, similar to what he was called in Daniel, the chief prince. He's pictured as a warrior fighting battles for the people of God, as in tonight's epistle from Revelation 12. This special angelic protection for God's people is seen throughout Scripture. The 2 angels who brought Lot and his family out of Sodom before they went to destroy the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Or there were angels there protecting Jacob when he was about to meet up with his brother Esau. The people of Israel were led and defended by angels as they journeyed in the wilderness. Elisha was surrounded by angels when men came to kill him, when he famously said to his servant, who couldn't see all the angels that Elisha could somehow see, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Daniel was protected by an angel in the lion's den. Peter was rescued by an angel from his prison cell. And as you heard in the gospel this evening, Jesus warns any who would dare look down on or despise or cause to stumble any of his little ones. "See that you do not despise one of these, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." All of this fits perfectly with what David wrote in Psalm 34. "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them." And with what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 91. "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." It's a good thing God has provided these guardian angels all around us, because the dangers around us are very real. Danger from other people, danger from accidents, danger from plague, and danger from things that may look like accidents but are actually demons, the devil's own angels seeking to bring us harm or to lead us into temptation. What did John write in the epistle that you heard this evening? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has little time. If we could see all the spiritual dangers that surround us, all the spiritual battles that are being fought in the spirit realm around us, just outside of our sight, we would never stop giving thanks to God for the protection that he gives through the angels as his instruments. So take comfort in the angels' presence and protection, whether you're on land or at sea, in your home or in the hospital, knowing that the angels are faithful servants to God and mighty warriors against all that might bring us harm. And if any bad thing does happen to a child of God, we can know for certain that it was not a failure on the part of the angels, nor was it a failure on God's part to see to our protection. As St. Paul wrote, we must enter the kingdom of God through many tribulations. This is not yet paradise, where we will be truly safe from all harm, including from death. We're still on the battlefield here, still living in the realm of the prince of this world, the devil, still living in enemy territory, as it were. But if any bad thing happens, we have God's own promise that he allowed it to happen for a very good purpose of his own knowing, for our eternal good, and for the good of his holy church, even as it finally worked out well for poor Lazarus, who suffered much on this earth, but whose soul was finally carried up to paradise by the angels. There will come a day when the troubles of this life are finally removed forever, and the angels will be there on that day too. Jesus says repeatedly, the Son of Man will come in his glory and all his holy angels with him. And he says in another place, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. At the same time, Jesus says, he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So give thanks to God today for how he runs the universe to work all things together for good to those who love him, including his use of these holy instruments of his, the mighty angels, our fellow servants of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who worship him together with us and lend us their ministry and protection. We don't see them now, but we will see them when Christ comes. Until then, we will continue to pray in Luther's morning and evening prayers. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.